Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
My brothers and sister, good Thursday afternoon. Hello.
Good. Gorgeous.
Oh my God.
Chamber of Commerce Thursday afternoon.
Man, are we spoiled right now or what?
It just keeps going.
Oh yeah.
I'm not complaining.
I mean, this is false fall number two. I would assume it's going to get hot again.
Nope, I already bought Mums. It can't get hot again.
It will.
I broke down yesterday. I was at Hy-Vee.
Dana, Mums
and I bought Mums.
The heat. I have a Mum in my side yard. It comes back every single year. It looks great. Mums do survive in hot weather.
Okay. Does that mean it's a perennial?
It is a perennial,
that
Sam.
That means it's a... Mm. Oh, my.
The things you learn as a new homeowner.
Dr. Rick.
It is a perennial.
Is in the house. Wow. You didn't know the difference between an annual and a perennial before you bought a house?
It is confusing because annual suggests every year.
No, and annual suggests you have to buy a new one every year.
The opposite.
Now, the only reason I did know that was because the way that we raised money back in grade school was the flower sale.
Oh, yeah.
Had we not done the flower sale, it would have taken a new home.
I love it when schools do things like that that are useful for fundraising. Schools do hostas now. They do lawn bags.
Trash bags and flower sales.
Love it. Absolutely love it. I actually have a topic today regarding a homeowner issue that when I called for help for the first time, I love it. The guy on the other end of the phone literally said, "You're screwed." That's what he said.
At least he's honest.
Yes. And I thought, you know what? I am so glad that someone has just been honest with me. Okay.
Time to bulldoze and build new.
Yep. Remember the storm, really bad one, like, I don't know, a month ago or a month and a half ago?
Yeah, where we got like...
Yes.
Was it 8 inches of rain?
Trees were down. It was a mess. In our backyard, our backyard neighbor's tree fell. And when it did, it ripped out what I thought were power lines in one of the poles that happens to sit in our backyard. Okay. We know that these are not electrical lines, but I'm still not going anywhere near them. They look like electrical lines, but they're not.
What kind of lines could they have been?
Utility. One of them is...
What does that mean?
Maybe fiber. One of them is maybe a landline.
So I had five different lines coming off of the back of my house. One telephone line, one ancient cable line, and three different fiber lines.
Okay, so we just assumed, like, someone with the city is going to be by to figure this out. If you have never had this happen, let me just educate you on something right now. No one is coming to fix that. Literally no one. Even if you could figure out who owns the line, which is more time that I'm willing to invest at this point, getting them to come out and remove it is also unlikely to happen. And here's why, Scott. So many of those lines are old, unused. You have finger pointing. Well, I don't think that's ours. Maybe it's theirs. There is a list on the city's website, Scott. He goes, and I'm sorry to tell you this. You have to go down and call one by one, every utility listed. Then he said, you have to hope someone admits.
Answers,
number one. Then if you even get a hold of someone, you have to hope that they admit they own the line. He goes, which they're unlikely to do.
So we traced all of them on my house to the specific box, because each time there's one of those lines, there's a random box drilled to the back of your house. Yes, I've got seven on the back of my house.
Yep.
I traced them all down and figured out which ones were dead lines and which ones were live lines, meaning which ones had electrical current running through them. I chopped all of them that didn't have electrical current. And of course, I didn't chop Google Fiber because I need it. The AT&T line.
Sam, let me interrupt. Do we want to take this news conference in Minneapolis?
Are they at the podium now?
They're at the podium as we speak.
Let's go and we'll come right back.
Okay.
There were four search warrants that were executed yesterday. One at the church, the others were executed at residences believed to be associated with the shooter. One of those residences was in the city of Minneapolis, a second one was in Richfield, and a third one was in St. Louis Park, which are both bordering municipalities. Additional evidence was recovered as a result of these warrants. Literally hundreds of pieces of evidence have been recovered thus far, which include electronic devices that will be further searched and processed. It now becomes our job collectively with all of law enforcement to process that evidence. And so this investigation will continue, and we will follow all of the evidence to its logical conclusion. I am aware, however, that this may not ultimately provide the answers that our public is looking for. When something terrible happens, the public expects law enforcement to provide some explanation for what happened. But the reality is, this is an unthinkable, completely senseless act. Violence perpetrated against children worshiping at Mass. And no investigation, no evidence will be ever be able to make sense of such an unthinkable tragedy. That being said, we will do our best to determine and identify a specific motive. What we have seen so far is this is an individual who, unfortunately, like so many other mass shooters that we have seen in this country too often and around the world, had some deranged fascination with previous mass shootings and very disturbing writings that demonstrate hatred towards many different individuals and different groups of people. And he fantasized about the plans of other mass shooters. Unfortunately, again, this has become all too common in our society. That being said, we know ultimately the purpose of the shooter's actions was to obtain notoriety for the shooter themselves. That being said, I have only said the name of this shooter once, and I'm asking members of the media to stop saying the shooter's name. That was the whole purpose of why he did this heinous act, to obtain that notoriety for themselves. As schools in our city are beginning to start this week and next, we are working with all of our law enforcement partners, county sheriffs, state troopers, and surrounding municipalities that are helping the city of Minneapolis as we step up police presence both in and around schools and around all of our houses of worship in the city. Many of our law enforcement partners are also supplementing patrols, and we could not be more grateful. This has truly been a collective effort in partnership with our community. We also must say that we will be forever in debt to all of the doctors, nurses, and paramedics who responded, who are caring for these victims in this incident. I cannot tell you how incredibly grateful we are for all of the love and support that has been pouring in from all around the country, both for the first responders who initially responded, entered that church, and dealt with the unthinkable, and for all of the victims and families that have received that love and support as well. The Minneapolis Police Department and our community have a long road ahead of us to heal, and we need everyone to continuing to show their support after the cameras once again leave this city. I'd like to invite up the acting United States Attorney for the District of Minnesota, Joe Thompson.
All right, we're gonna bag out now. Dana had a great point. Why are we bringing up the U.S. attorney? There's no one to charge.
Yeah.
He killed himself.
Now, guns were obtained legally.
That is correct. Three of them.
He was an adult, so there is no, did mom or dad facilitate this in any way? I'm
23 years old.
I'm glad that he acknowledged the work and the trauma of the emergency room staff. You know, if you ever want to just cut right through the BS when it comes to these mass shootings, talk to an emergency room physician about what it really looks like when our children are put through this physically, right?
Yeah.
And did you hear yesterday one of the nurses that was working at the main hospital in the ICU. Her daughter came in critical.
Oh, my God.
Survived, I believe, and critical, but her own child came in. And, you know, the staff at the ER has children and family members like everybody else.
Did you hear this story about there was a young girl who had been shot, wounded, but survived, and the police come rushing into the church. They get there before the ambulance and fire department, and this police officer is like, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" She had been shot, grazed in the head, okay? And she looks at the officer and says, "Will you just hold my hand?"
Oh, God.
Can you imagine? I mean, the therapy you would need if you were one of those first responders.
There isn't enough.
You're right. There's not enough.
I saw an interesting post today from someone in Minneapolis, and it was either law enforcement or law enforcement adjacent. And it looks like an ad campaign, a very well thought out ad campaign. And it's someone on a cell phone, like a teenager. And the message is essentially, if you see something, say something. But they took it one step further. The messaging was essentially, if you see something, instead of posting about it or screenshotting it and sending it to your friends, send it to us.
See, the way I heard it differently today was, if you see something, say something and do something.
Yes. It showed like a teenager on her phone and I don't know if they're trying to say that there were enough people out there that knew this person was a nut, that someone, like, the next time you see ramblings like this, let somebody know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this, Scott, we had an issue years ago in our neighborhood where there were some very terrifying things being posted by someone who clearly needed mental health help.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how terrifying?
In our neighborhood, if you lived on that street, it was a 9.
Okay.
People were arming themselves, multiple arrests, in and out of juvenile hall, a lot of disturbing posts with weapons. And people did say something. Because trust me, those screenshots were flying around the neighborhood. Like, what is being done about this kid? And what authorities told us was, we cannot arrest someone because of what they might do. The postings weren't like, I'm going to go out.
That's Minority Report.
Yeah, I'm not going to go out on this day and time and do this. It was more thinly veiled threats and photos of guns and look at my pain and, you know, a cry for help, clearly.
Yeah.
But we did call. Everybody called. Like, do something with this kid. And authorities were like,
there's nothing you can do.
We can't arrest him. We don't even know that that gun in that photo is his or is a stock photo that he found on the internet.
It reminds me of the lyric from Prince. I've shared it with you before, from the Batman soundtrack. If a man is guilty for the thoughts that go on in his mind, give me the electric chair for all my future crime.
Until someone like that lives on your street.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
All right. We had a brief interruption as we carried some of the news conference out of Minneapolis. Not sure what new information they are providing necessarily. Even had the U.S. attorney come up. And Dana had a great point. Who are you going to charge? Maybe the parents, if they knew, or a friend, if they knew, but we did not get that kind of information. You were talking about power lines and utility lines.
Well, I want to go back to what Sam was saying. If you live in an area where lines have gone down, and they're not electrical, they're not arcing, they appear to be either cable or an old telephone landline, like whatever these lines are.
Mm-hmm.
The man on the phone basically told me today, good luck. He said, even if you can figure out who owns the line, which in and of itself will take you a very long time to figure out, multiple phone calls to multiple utilities, even if you can figure out who owns it, no one's going to claim it.
And they're certainly not going to send a crew out just to collect what's now become trash.
But it's dangling.
You want me to touch it?
Scott, it is literally dangling in our backyard.
I'm not kidding you. I took my wire snippers. I walked up to the utility pole. I reached as high as I could. And I snipped it.
Okay, but Sam, we're always told do not ever
go
anywhere near a line. And so, yeah, would it be easy to go over there and cross your fingers and hope and snip? We're not doing that.
Don't just guess. And that's kind of the point that I was trying to make before we switched over to the press conference, is I did cut all but two of those utility lines off the back of my house. And the reason I didn't cut two of them, one, I'm still using one. And the other one was the AT&T line, which despite the fact that it's a fiber line, which we still can't figure this one out, it has an electrical current running through it.
Right. There ain't no way we're rolling and dice. Like, I'm going to take some 10 snips and hope. It's not happening.
How do you know which ones have an electrical current going through them or not?
There is a device that looks like a highlighter. And instead of popping the top off to become a highlighter, it's a reader of electrical current, and so you hold it up to the wire and it beeps at you.
No, but you see my point here, Scott? No city wants a homeowner going out back and going, well, this one looks like the yellow one and that one, well, don't touch that. Like, we're just not going
to
mess
with
it.
It's like in the movies when somebody's trying to figure out how to defuse a bomb. Is it green, yellow, or red? I don't know. Just take a gander.
Don't cut that one.
Let's go with blue.
So,
pro tip, I wouldn't snip the one coming out of your power box.
Thank you. The funniest thing at the end of the call, he did say two things. This is a huge problem.
Mm-hmm.
Huge. And he goes, the city right now is trying to figure out what can be done to fix this, because sometimes the pole is on private property, the utility has the right of way, but you know, whose job is it to fix it? So number one, it's a problem. Number two, city's working on it. And number three, he goes, I'm not at liberty to tell you what I did with the ones that were down in my backyard.
What does that mean?
I don't know. That's what he said.
That means he walked up to that power pole, snipped him as close as he could, and walked away and said, well, I guess they're just going to hang there for the rest of their days.
And I cracked up. I was like, I honestly appreciate someone with any city just saying basically you're screwed.
I'm not clipping any lines that end up in my backyard.
I would not.
Yes, Captain Encyclopedia.
I was just wondering, are any of these lines buried?
No.
Okay,
no,
they're all above ground.
Yeah.
So 1-800-DIG-RIGHT doesn't apply.
Nope. Dan, we've tried everything. We even went onto some back deep county website to try and figure out what one of the lines might be. And it was a telephone company that I've never even heard of.
Well, do they look like power lines or do they look like telephone lines?
They look like, Dan, the kind of line that I'm not going to go anywhere near.
How
because,
do you
like,
know the
if you're wrong, if you're
well,
wrong.
One looks like an electric wire.
No.
Thicker.
No.
There are power poles all over this city that have coils of random line at the bottom of them.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually funny. I was clearing out some brush in the corner of my backyard, and sure enough, I found three more just coiled up. Sitting in my yard.
I thought at this point we were all buried everywhere.
Well, we aren't in Western Shawnee, of course.
Okay. Well, we were in my prior home city, and now we're not. And so I'm learning something new every single day.
All older neighborhoods mm-hmm. are above ground.
And would it be just completely cost prohibitive to go back and retro?
Do you have any idea?
Well,
we've got Google Fiber.
That's new.
For example, if you were to go through a neighborhood like Waldo and try to bury the power lines behind the house, every single person that has a fence, you have to rip every single fence up.
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah.
Which, by the way, when I say every person that has a fence, I mean
every single person.
For example, when I lived in Ropo, I did have an above ground power and phone cable going and cable TV going into the house from a big pole on the other side of my brand new wooden fence.
Yep.
These could be just old cable cables.
We believe that they are, Dan, which is why the guy on the line that I spoke with at the city said, good luck trying to figure out whose responsibility that is.
Yeah, previous owner, they bought a cable package and they came in and
And how did it end up on the ground?
A tree fell in our neighbor's yard and just yanked.
So it disconnected the cable of whatever kind of cable it is from the pole.
Yep.
And your lights are still working?
Yep.
So you know it's not electric.
Well,
I am not going to
roll those dice.
Well, if it was a power line and it was broken, you would know because, as you mentioned,
it would be arcing.
It would be smacking the ground. Does Johnny not have a voltage tester?
We do. And I said to him the other day, I don't want you going anywhere near it. My entire life I've been told
there are a couple
of rules. You don't take a bath when there's a lightning storm out, and you don't go near downed wires.
I agree with Scott. He's a hardware man. Let him be a hardware man.
I call the city and I'm like, I need help. Is there an action line? And they're like, good luck.
Does he drive a truck?
Yes, he does.
Is he from the country?
Yes, he is.
Let the man be a man.
That is terrible advice. No.
Then you'll know.
Yeah, I guess that's one way to find out. Yeah.
Clear.
Is there a crash cart outside?
One way to find out if that cable has power in it, just touch the end of it to your tongue.
Yeah, we're good.
You know what my dad did when
we were little? He used to tell us, we had an electric fence for the dogs to keep them out of the, you know, whatever. And it would go, it made that noise. And one day,
that's the warning.
I was having a sleepover with a bunch of my friends, and he goes, have you ever heard this trick? If everyone holds hands and the person in the front touches it, no one gets shocked. And we did it.
How'd that go?
That's a battery.
I've always loved your dad.
Oh, my gosh.
He's so awesome.
We were like 11 years old. I'm like, what are you doing?
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. All right, let's go to Jeff in Kansas City. Jeff, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. Thanks for asking.
Hey, Jeff.
Go ahead.
Hey. I was calling in. So I'm actually a licensed electrician. It's a lot easier for me to determine what's safe and what's not from experience. I would agree with you, Dana. Don't go poking around if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
But if you know somebody that's a handyman, or specifically if you know an electrician or even like a cable company person, it's very easy to identify what's going to have current and what isn't, like what's going to be actually able to injure you.
Sure.
And if you're not actively using a service line, it's pretty easy to tell. Like if you say, hey, I have AT&T internet at my house.
Yeah,
it'll have an AT&T box on the side of your house, and you could physically trace the wire. And don't cut that one, but all the other ones you could probably cut.
But Jeff, shouldn't it be easier when we don't ask to have these things on our property? Like, I didn't ask if one of these is an old landline. We don't even use that. Shouldn't it be easier, theoretically, for homeowners to get help when something of this nature happens?
For theoretically, I agree with you. Practically, you know what I mean? Yeah. Yep. There's just so many. I live in an old neighborhood that was built in the 60s. And when I bought my house 4 years ago, it had like five wires attached to it.
Why couldn't they have color-coded these things?
Once I got Google Fiber, I cut the rest of them because that's all I wanted was Google. And and everything else just got clipped.
Yep.
But again, I know what I'm looking for, so it's a little safer.
Yep.
The one other thing that you guys said, there is a tool that it will detect the presence of electricity. It's called a presence tester. However, the trade term for that is a widow maker. So take that with what you will.
A widow maker.
Oh.
Yep. Got it.
Got
That's exactly
it.
Why I'm not going anywhere near those things, Jeff. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, no problem. Have a good one, guys.
All right, be well.
So yeah, I'm just going to wait until a branch takes down the AT&T line that has a live charge in it at my house. And then I'll call AT&T and say, hey, can you come fix this?
Do you mind?
The Kansas City Royals are inviting fans to relish in the opportunity to become the ultimate hot dog racer. Now, why? You know, I've run the hot dog race three times in my life.
I would love to do it. I don't think that I will fit in the suit.
And I'm not tall enough. There's a height requirement.
Nine contestants will be selected to compete in the Hot Dog Race Championship Tournament.
Aha!
Each team will be a popular hot dog condiment. The winners advance to the championship battle for hot dog supremacy. The entry window is open now until September 12th.
Oh, I'm signing up.
You should, Sam.
The race will take place during the seventh inning. on September 20th,
okay,
when the Royals host the Blue Jays at Kauffman Stadium. Contestants will not only get the chance to compete on the field, but they will also enjoy the game, blah, blah, blah. All right, here we go. To be considered, fans must submit a short video showcasing their passion for the hot dog derby, and you must be 18 years old at least.
Okay.
Okay, you both qualify
18,
for that. 18,
yes. Okay. I'm passionate, yes.
All right, so I'll put two down for that. Able to sprint 100 yards.
I'm good for that one.
Okay, Sam's good for able to sprint 100 yards.
That's iffy for me, but go ahead.
You think you could sprint 100 yards?
I prefer not to.
Well, that's what the race is about.
Put me down as maybe.
Okay, I'm going to put you down as a yes on that. You have to be between 5'6".
Oh, come on.
What are you?
You're
5'2".
That.
You're 5'2".
On a good day.
So Dana's out. And Sam, how tall are you?
What is the maximum height requirement?
6'3".
Ah!
You're out!
Can I lie? Can I slouch?
So you're telling me that of the three of us, I'm the only one who qualifies?
You are and your knees only one disqualify who
and your knees completely disqualify you.
If I'm in a race, I can make them work. I can make them work.
Oh, I'm going to slouch. I'm entering.
I'm way too short for the height requirement, and Sam, you're way too tall.
Yeah. You're not going to make it, buddy. From the text line, great question. Why don't we hear Dana talk about pickleball anymore?
Because the season ended like 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago.
What'd you say, Sam? Shame?
Shame.
And does not start back up for another 2 weeks. That's
okay.
Why.
All right.
Yep.
I will say that I met a lot of your pickleball partners on Saturday night, and
yay!
They all talked about how competitive you were.
Oh, yeah, I'm crazy.
That was not followed by a comment about how good you were, but it was.
She's competitively bad.
Very competitive.
Sam, from the text line, how tall are you?
I am 6'5".
Missed it by 2 inches. That's what she said. From ABC News, the Powerball prize has grown to $950 million.
Did I lose again?
Yes, the game's sixth largest prize in its history after there was no winner in last night's drawing. I'm not even going to read that. I don't know why they include the numbers in the story. It doesn't matter. Nobody won.
Well, you could have won the million.
That is true, but typically they report that, like, six people won the million.
Do you not check?
No, it's on my nightstand.
She's a very dedicated.
What if you won $1 million last night?
I might have. I usually just wait for you to tell me my hopes and dreams have been dashed.
Well, your hopes and dreams have been dashed. There were six tickets that did win $1 million or more last night by matching all five white balls.
Okay. Was one of them in Kansas City, specifically right down the street from the station?
Well, Dana, this is why. See, you could be sitting on $1 million on your nightstand and you don't know it. The story doesn't tell me where the $1 million tickets were sold.
Okay.
They typically don't tell you until it comes down to, like, it hasn't been claimed in 3 or 4 weeks. And
would
then
you
they
wanna
release
know,
where it was sold.
Would you want to know if you had one of those and it expired and you didn't know it? I would not want to know.
Oh, that I missed out on $1 million
yes.
prize?
Yes.
Absolutely not.
I agree with you.
I would not want to know.
That would just eat you alive.
How would you find out unless you were cleaning out your car and you're like, oh, that's where that lottery ticket went?
Well, Sam, you know people put them in the console, if you're on a road trip. Especially if you're on a road trip, you go in, you get a diet soda, and you're like, oh, get me a lottery ticket. Which, by the way, do you want to share, Sam, the hilarious, whoever is in charge of the Quick Trip marketing team is brilliant. They released a map today, and the map is just like, you know, a diagram of your typical store, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Very rudimentary. And there are dots on it with different colors, okay? Dot number one, the purple dot, under the key says, girl you remember from high school but pretend you don't see. Dot number two, under the QT floor plan, is a dark navy dot up by the cash register. Construction worker running on 4 hours of sleep in Red Bull.
Very accurate.
The green dot is
very
just
accurate.
Kind of like sort of by the checkout stand, but not really. Green dot, guy waiting who doesn't realize the cashier uses both sides of the register.
Sam,
Which, by the way, no matter how many times you say, hey, I'll help you over here, some people just stare at you and don't react. It's like, no, right here. Come on over.
Red dot, Scott. Broke college kid getting his second meal of the day from the roller grill.
We are 4 for 4.
Orange dot. Can I get 20 on pump?
And that's when I say, what are you driving?
Yellow dot. High schooler waiting for donuts to go on sale at 3 p.m. Burgundy dot. Lady holding up the line buying 30 lottery tickets.
Yes, I've been behind her.
And then there's a green on orange dot. Couple pre-breakup arguing in the snack aisle about what to get.
Have you seen all that?
Why is it such an important decision what kind of candy we're getting? I have been consulted multiple times.
Yeah.
What do you think? Should I get chocolate or something gummy? I don't know. What do you want?
You know why, Sam? If you said to me just right now in this room, pick a candy, go, I could say, all right, bring me a Snickers. The problem is it's all laid out in front of you and it's low to the ground. Where like little kids eye level.
Your height.
It just.
Oh, snap.
It just is overwhelming when you see it all in front of you. It's like you're in Willy Wonka's shop and you just
pick something for God's sakes.
I don't know what I want. Do I want salty? Do I want sweet? It's overwhelming.
What's your favorite candy?
Well, I don't know.
Oh my God.
I usually get cashews.
Then what are you doing in the candy aisle?
Yeah.
It's the shiny object right there by the checkout.
It is right next to the register for a very important reason.
Yes, because you're waiting, even if you're waiting 30 seconds.
You're waiting with your kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You're like, oh, look at that. It's brilliant.
And Mike and Ike are the best.
It's brilliant.
And you want to get out of there. Nobody wants to be in a gas station for too long. And the kids are saying, Mom, can I get some M&Ms?
I like weird candy, like the Toffifee. You know, the little cups, and it's got like hazelnuts in them and caramel. I think only old people eat them and Dana.
And Europeans.
Yeah.
Nobody ever buys that candy.
What are those Ferrero Rochers? I love those.
What are you saying?
You know, they've got little nutty balls. They're little nutty balls. They're little nutty balls. God, they're good.
Watch your mouth.
They come in a pack.
Okay.
A set.
Yeah. Because you know what?
Two of them?
They're all laid out in front of you. Where else do you go to a store? Because at the store when you're at the checkout, like if you go to like Hy-Vee, you've got gum, maybe.
You got Tic Tacs.
Right. There's candy at the store.
Yeah.
Though.
If you're in the checkout aisle at like Hy-Vee and you're facing the conveyor belt, it's all gum and Tic Tacs. Turn around.
Okay, but no one ever goes down the aisle of candy. Why would you go down the, except Halloween time? When else do you go down that entire gigantic aisle?
I don't eat chocolate. So I only go down there one day a year. And it's usually like October 26th.
Yeah.
It's a multi-billion dollar industry. People still do it. It blows my mind. But
clearly. 913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
They had a tribute last night on TV. We were going to watch America's Got Talent because we're like really into that. But it wasn't on last night. So they had this all-star tribute to Toby Keith last night.
Yeah.
And it was really, really good.
May he rest in peace.
May he rest in peace. Jelly Roll hosted it and performed. Had a bunch of other big-time performers. I think Carrie Underwood was there. You name the high royalty of country music, and they were all there. Singing Toby Keith songs. It was, dare I say, very entertaining.
If you ever have way too much free time, go back and watch some of those music videos on YouTube of those classic Toby Keith songs. They are still hilarious and weird as ever.
Yeah, they were weird.
Yeah.
And he looked like, in some of the early ones, he looked like a dork.
Oh, yeah.
Prosecutors failed to secure an indictment against the man accused of throwing a sandwich at a Customs and Border Protection agent in Washington, D.C. It is not immediately clear whether prosecutors with the U.S. Attorney's Office would make another attempt at seeking a felony assault indictment against Sean Dunn. Prosecutors similarly failed to convince a federal grand jury in D.C. to indict a woman, Sydney Reed, accused by the government of assaulting an FBI agent during an inmate swap, despite three separate attempts. Okay. Good times. More crime and punishment. A Tennessee man with the same name as New York Yankees legend Babe Ruth. His name is Babe Ruth.
No.
Yes.
That's kind of cool.
Is facing charges alleging that he used the names of hundreds of dead or retired pro baseball players to make phony claims for payouts in class action settlements.
Mm-hmm.
His real name, and Sam, when you look this up, I think Babe Ruth's real name is George Herman Ruth. George Herman Ruth is charged with 91 counts in the indictment handed down in Greenville, Tennessee on August 12th.
George Herman Ruth Jr.
Okay, so this guy's name was George Herman Ruth, a.k.a. Babe Ruth. The 69-year-old from Morristown, Tennessee, is charged with mail fraud, aggravated identity theft.
What was he going around telling people, hey, I'm Babe Ruth? Because that's on them if they believed it.
Partly. The indictment does not list the names of the players that Babe Ruth claimed to be, but it describes some of them. Some played for now defunct teams, such as the Philadelphia Athletics, the St. Louis Browns, and the Kansas City Packers.
Now, this is very interesting. Do you know why Babe Ruth got the name Babe?
No.
Dana?
No.
It was a nickname given to him by his teammates when he played for the Baltimore Orioles in 1914. They called him Dunn's new Babe. The name Babe stuck around. The reason they called him that was because Jack Dunn, who was the team owner and manager at the time, had become Ruth's legal guardian at the age of 19 before helping him sign his first professional contract. So they called him Dunn's Babe, and he became Babe Ruth.
Here's what I know. Babe Ruth is no longer with us, and if you're going around telling people that you're Babe Ruth and they're falling for that and somehow giving you money, that's on you.
But he was using names of older players from, like, the Kansas City Packers.
Also would be deceased.
True, but nobody would know the name of any Kansas City Packers player. I had no idea there was a baseball team in this town once called the Kansas City Packers. They were a federal league baseball club from 1914 to 1915.
The logo was KC Feds. I love it.
That's cool.
It's actually a pretty cool logo.
Very cool.
I had no idea that there was a team in town called the Kansas City Packers. Huh. The Packers' first signing was of former St. Louis Browns manager George Stovall. Okay. Who knew? Quick break. By the way, we have Missouri Tigers football today.
MIC, baby!
Z-O-U. Pre-game starts at 4:30 this afternoon here on KMBZ.
We're so happy to bring that to you.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.